And now we want to take a personal look at what happens when these kinds of statistics hit home. How do families cope with a crisis that comes and stays like a chronic illness? Today, the last day of our family series, we're talking about AIDS. 13 years ago, Carla Bailey learned she had full-blown AIDS. She was a mother of three, and at the time, she decided to keep the news from her family. Carla, welcome.
Thank you.
So can you describe what you felt when you got your diagnosis, and then why you kept it from your family at first?
Well, first, there was an extreme sense of denial that I wasn't infected, that I didn't have anything because I had no symptoms. Once going on medication after the second test and getting a thorough, yes, you have full-blown AIDS, there was immediate depression, but I had to cover it because of my kids. I have an older son. He's 5 years older than the other two. And he kind of figured it out on his own, but he didn't say anything. The only person that I could really talk to was my sister, who is a healthcare professional. She's my oldest sister. And her and I kind of walked through it together, and she convinced me that I needed to tell, first of all, the rest of my siblings, and then of the children, who should I tell? And so we decided at first just to tell my siblings and my oldest son.
How old was your oldest son at the time you found out?
He was in college, so he was in his 20s and working for a women's project. As a matter of fact, it worked with women with AIDS and HIV. So we had a family barbecue, and we talked about it, and I just told him I had full-blown AIDS.
How did your family react?
Well, my sisters were okay with it because they're very religious women, so they figure whatever's going to happen in your life is going to happen in your life. That was the first time, however, I saw all three of my brothers break down and cry. And that was hard to watch. It was really difficult to see. And I remember one of them walked up to me. He grabbed me, put his arms around me, and he said, "Oh, my God, Carla, what are we going to do?" And I told him, "We're going to live until we die. That's what we're going to do."
Now, I want to bring your daughter into the discussion. Jamie Bailey Rotti had just graduated from high school when her mother broke the news of her illness. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, how did it affect you to know that this thing had hit your mother and that she, I understand it was 2 years before she told you?
Yeah, she waited some time. I knew she was sick, but I didn't know from what. And she just kept telling us it was going to be all right. My mom's a strong person, so we just thought everything was okay and just kept, you know, going through life. And then when I did find out, my first instinct was to find out more information because it's my mom. And you know, you want your parents to be around through you throughout your life. And I was still fairly young, just about to go into college. And I definitely needed her more at that time than ever. So I wanted her to be around. It was very hard. It was very hard. I remember watching my mom sleep, scared, not knowing what was going to happen, and just praying over her. It was nothing really more that I could do. It just be there for her so she didn't stress out or, you know, think about it too much. I mean, how can you not think about it, you know? But just try to make every moment count.
So you were getting ready to go to college. Did you end up moving away from your family geographically, or did you stay closer to home?
Oh, no. I stayed home. I didn't go to school too far from where I lived. School was just like a bad time for me to go to school at that time because I was stressed out myself, and I didn't realize it until several years later, but it was a very difficult time. I stayed home for that purpose, to be close to my mom.
Now, when you think about how you reacted with your friends, did you let people in on this? Did you sit down and discuss? I mean, a lot of families have people with HIV, but some people really don't talk about it. Did you open up with your friends?
You know what? I first consulted my mom. I did not want to put her business out there in the street without speaking to her and seeing where she was at with this before I told anyone, because this is her own personal business. You know, but my mom, she's always been a very open person. She would talk to my friends when they came over about being safe and so forth. So if say my husband now, I've been with him for over 10 years. When I met him, I had to explain it to him and educate him on what I knew and tell him about my mom so he's aware. You know, just so everyone's, you know, it's those secrets. We don't keep secrets. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's life. Things happen in life.
Carla, you contracted HIV through contact with your longtime partner. He was not, you were not officially married, but he was like a husband to you.
Right.
How did you then move ahead, and you now have a leadership position in dealing with HIV/AIDS? Tell us about that, and tell us whether it's helped you in that kind of outreach work to share your story.
First, I had to come to grips with the fact that I had nobody to lash out to or talk to in terms of being of contracting the disease because he died before I found out anything was going on with me. And that in itself was, I just went inward. It's like, okay, what do you do? Do you lay here and die, or do you get up and you keep living? It took a minute because I did go into depression. I had depression for 3 years, as a matter of fact, very difficult depression, where it came down to initially we lost everything, house, cars, all of it. I lost my job. I couldn't work. Had a lot of stuff going on. I was having trouble with medication. I ended up living with my oldest sister, who is a healthcare professional, and she walked me through a lot of this stuff, even the crying in the middle of the night and all of this stuff. And finally, one day, watching a movie, I kind of got inspiration to get off my tail and get up and start living.
And now you are working with L.A. County's HIV Commission.
I am the first African-American female co-chair of the Commission on HIV in Los Angeles. I speak with a group called Positively Speaking, not as much anymore because I have a lot of work with the commission, but there's a group with L.A. Unified School District called Positively Speaking where I speak to kids from middle school all the way through college about HIV, the contractions thereof. I don't hide anything from them. If they have a question, there's not a question I won't answer for them because this is something that everybody needs to understand. It is everybody's responsibility. For those of us that are infected, it should make us responsible to be able to talk about it. We're not the disease. We are people with a disease. We have to be open, and I think in America especially, we have to become more open in talking about sexual things, how things are transmitted, what could happen. Not to say that abstinence is not a bad conversation to have, but you also need to educate your kids about sexual things because eventually they're going to get there. And you either want them there with as much information as you can give them, or you send them out there ignorant, and this can happen to anybody.
You have not only moved forward with your life in terms of your health, in terms of leadership, but you've also adopted. Did your HIV status ever become an issue during the adoption?
Well, I was in court 4 years through the adoption process, and my HIV status didn't become an issue until I got to the adoption court. And I remember the judge saying to me, you have stellar reports from Family Services. The adoption agency thinks you're wonderful, and you've got a really excellent record, but I have one concern. And I said, can I stop you right there? He said, yes. I said, you're concerned about the fact that I have AIDS? He said, well, yeah. I'm like, okay. So can I ask you a question? He said, yes. I said, okay, so how old are you? I said, as a matter of fact, you don't have to answer that. You're above the 50 mark, right? He says, yeah. I'm like, do you know when you're going to die? He said, no. I said, neither do I. But I have life in my body. I have love in my body. And these kids I want with me. And so he smiled at me, and he said, okay, let's sign the papers. And I walked out of that courtroom with what is biologically my brother's three kids who have been with me since they were almost 4 months, and one came straight from the hospital. They're doing wonderful. They're in school. They're in music. They're flowing. And I think, for me, they give me more reasons to stay here and do everything I can to save a generation that we may lose. It may be even two generations. But it's important that each generation be better than the last generation.
Well, Carla, Jamie, thank you for being so open and inspirational.
Thank you.
Carla Bailey and her daughter, Jamie Bailey Rati. Carla has been living with AIDS since 1992, and she's doing just fine with the strong support of her family.